The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. We've been talking about the complaint psalms with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. These are a peculiar bit of scripture that sometimes disturbs us. We have a hard time praying them ourselves because we feel we might be crossing a line with God, complaining to him. In the first part of our conversation with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, we went through the basic subjects that are covered in these complaint psalms and how we should rightly understand prayer and evil and God's wrath. We're going to struggle with all of that as we look at Psalm 6 for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Psalm 6 is the first one we meet in the book of Psalms. In what way, with about a minute and a half here, in what way does it kind of give us the primer on dealing with and struggling with these complaint psalms?
Well, what Psalm 6 does, first of all, is sets up the problem is that when we interact with God, we've got all of these, so many things swirling around. And chief of these, sort of the underlying question is, why do all of these lousy things happen to me? Why is God angry with me? So Psalm 6 begins, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? So Psalm 6 tries to wrestle with this question of why does God take so long to answer prayers, especially in the midst of my own sin?
All right.
That's what it's dealing with.
When we come back, I guess one of the things we're going to have to deal with first is the notion of God's wrath, anger, in the words of the New King James Version, your hot displeasure. That's not a popular notion, even among Christians nowadays, that God can exercise wrath, displeasure, and anger. Some Christians would say it's just an old-fashioned way of looking at God, and we need to think of God as tolerant, as loving. God loves you anyway, no wrath there. Well, I don't know how you'd make sense of a psalm like Psalm 6 without the wrath and anger of God. Is this just a theory that God might be angry with us, or is there the real prospect with us as sinners, rebels and disobedient to God, that God's wrath is actually dangerous to us, and that we do need to be concerned about it, does need to be the subject of prayer? It's interesting that he says, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Do we need to fear God's punishment, his rebuke, his discipline? We'll be right back talking about Psalm 6, part 2 of a 5-part daily series on the complaint psalms with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues, ETC.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Sweden guarantees gender equity only for some.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In 2007, Sweden ranked first in the world in the Gender Gap Index. In other words, Sweden was found to have the highest percentage of gender equality both socially and in political power, with almost half the Swedish parliament consisting of women. Recently, however, Swedish health officials have decided to allow gender-based abortions. When a mother sought the abortion of a second baby girl, health officials determined they could not deny her based on the idea of discrimination. If sex selection abortion trends worldwide are any indication, unborn girls in Sweden are at a clear disadvantage.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. Ready to get into Psalm 6 with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, part 2 of our 5-part daily series on the Complaint Psalms. You read it before, the first 3 verses. You call it a prayer for mercy, and it seems to me that the beginning of this psalm really is kind of a compendium of what the psalm is going to say throughout its entirety. Before we deal with that, the notions of God's anger and displeasure, not popular notions, even among Christians nowadays. Your thoughts?
That's right. We don't like the idea that God might be angry. We want a God of gospel, not law. And of course, if you don't have the law, you don't have the gospel. The two go hand in hand. They need to be distinguished. They need to be distinct, but they both go together. And so what Psalm 6 is doing, this is a psalm of David, and David in this psalm is praying that God would act in mercy toward him. One of my favorite collects goes something along the lines of, "O God, you are the one who is known to us chiefly in showing mercy and pity." So there is a real sense with this psalm that what David is asking for is that God would be God, that God would act as he has promised to act. He would act in mercy. But David is also very aware and deeply troubled that this isn't happening at the pace that he thinks that it should happen. God is not working like he expects him to work. God is hidden. God is, but you, O Lord, how long? Verse 3. And so he is confessing his bewilderment in many ways at how God is working with him.
Is God's taking his time, if you will? Is it a sign of God's wrath or displeasure?
Well, that's a great question. What you have here is, and you'll find elsewhere in Scripture, something along the lines of the Lord chastens those that He loves. Certainly, the image of how a father and a mother discipline a child is certainly appropriate. No father or mother that I've ever met likes to discipline their child. No father or mother wants to punish their child. They're doing so that they're able to give them something greater, something better. But that does not happen. That does not happen easily. This is why the law is called God's alien work. This is God punishing us or disciplining us for our sin is not finally what God wants. What God wants is to show mercy and pity. But that does not always happen as quickly as we would like. At least in our own experience, as we are struggling with the consequences of sin today. And that's really where this psalm kind of gets at it, is look, I am close to death here. In death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? Verse 5. So he's asking that God would deliver his life. Goes on in verses 6 and 7, I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It goes weak because of all my foes. There's this sense in this psalm that that David is saying, get on with it, God. This is, what is, why are you doing this? There certainly is a sense in this psalm that David is not, it's not pretending that he doesn't deserve any of this. There's no sort of self-righteousness in this psalm. This is definitely a psalm of repentance. He's asking God to be gracious, that he's asking God not to act according, not to be fair, but he's acting God to be asking God to be merciful. But God isn't being merciful as quickly as David expects that he should be. And so he's troubled. He's troubled to the point of death. He is weeping. His eyes waste away. Verse 7 there, and I think that gets Todd at what is so missing from our understanding of prayer and spirituality today. Prayer and Christian spirituality does not mean I have all the answers. Christian spirituality does not mean I've got it all together and everything is just, you know, kind of shiny, happy people sort of thought. Christian spirituality means that I am free to speak to God from the heart and that I am free to hear God's word from the heart, even if God's timing is not exactly what I want.
I think we talked about this before. It really does stifle an awful lot of prayer among Christians who believe, first of all, that it's impertinent to complain to God, and then that if they have anything to complain about, there must be some deficiency in their spirituality, because real Christians, they could hardly find anything to complain about. They should be singing praises and be filled with the joy of the Lord and peace and all the other things that maybe their pastor preaches a lot to them about.
That's right. And so And I think sometimes that we pastors can, we can forget this. We can forget so easily that our people are hurting. They're struggling. They're broken. Their lives are messed up in big ways so often. And in our desire to give them the gospel, which obviously is a good thing, is a gift. In our desire to give them the gospel, we can inadvertently paint this picture of the gospel meaning be happy, and that's not gospel. That's law. the gospel is what God gives. It's not a command. Even a command to have a better outlook on life or have a good emotion, however you want to put it. So these psalms, among other things, and you can really see it here in Psalm 6, confess and I think liberate us to be honest, that we don't have to be afraid to speak to God. As a father, I want my children to be free to talk to me about anything. Sometimes that talking may take longer than I would like, to be honest, but I do want them to feel that they are free to talk to me about things, even things that I don't like, maybe especially things that I don't like. And for them to understand that, yes, even if I do have to discipline them, if I have to punish them for something, I'm not doing so out of hatred. I'm doing this out of love. And that is the picture that you get in this psalm, is that David wants to, he has such a relationship with God. He has faith and trust in God through his word, that he is able to confess these deep, sorrowing things and these great questions of, well, God, are you just going to let me die? Is that how this whole thing ends? Is that the finish line? And David is able to do that. What a gift for Christians today to be able to confess what really troubles them, not what the culture says that they're free to be troubled by, even if that culture is kind of a plastic Christian church. What a gift. And that's what these psalms free us to do.
When he says, in death there is no remembrance of you in the grave, who will give you thanks? Is this hyperbole? I mean, in other words, saying, I feel like I'm about to die, but of course we say this all the time. Is it hyperbole?
Well, that's a good question, Todd. And that's one of these verses that I have that I've really struggled with a lot, personally. What he is not trying to get at here is he's not denying heaven, okay? He's not. He's certainly not saying, if I die, I'm going to go to hell and that's the end of it. I mean, we certainly confess, as David would and did even at the death of his young son after the David and Bathsheba incident. We would confess that when you die, God finally declares you innocent. This is kind of the verdict that the vindication that we all long for. So he's not denying that. But at the same time, we have to look at this kind of from our earthly perspective. And this is one of these great mysteries of faith. From my earthly perspective, death is the end. The only way I can see past death is by faith, is by this gift from God. And that's what David is, I think, is struggling with, is connecting his faith to this deep experience, this dreadful experience that he's going through. So, I guess I would call it hyperbole. I think what I would also say is that he's confessing what we all, at some point in our lives, what we all confess about death is death really the end? You know, is that really what God wants from me, is to die? And the answer to that, of course, is no. God wants you to live and live eternally. But when I'm staring at my mother's grave, that does kind of make me wonder. It really does. And that's what David's struggling with himself.
When we come back from the break, we're going to take up what is really kind of the next section of this complaint psalm, Psalm 6. I am weary with my groaning all night. I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. We'll find out what David is complaining about. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon. It's January the 26th. Do you struggle with the complaint psalms as well? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me? You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't
We're walking through the complaint psalms with Pastor Todd Peppercorn today. Psalm 6, a cry for mercy, a cry for God's wrath to cease and for God to act quickly. And then at the end, hope that God will answer prayer. Although I would note by the end of this psalm, God still hasn't answered. He's saying he will answer, but he still hasn't answered. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. You can download this booklet for free at our website, issuesetc.org. One more question on the whole death thing here.
Yeah.
You ask an interesting question. I want you to answer it as well. Why would the psalmist be so afraid of being separated from God when God is apparently so wrathful?
That's the question of faith right there. That's the Anfechtung, you know, this great word that Luther used to kind of describe the trial of faith, that my eyes tell me that God is wrathful. The wages of sin is death. And so I look at the grave and I see this. But what faith tells me, given to me in my baptism through the Word, is that God is merciful. And so it is that tension which we as Christians live in every day of our lives, is here on earth, there are consequences to my sin. If I steal a car, God forgives me, I still go to jail. And so I'm torn by what my experience teaches me and shows me, and what God in his Word delivers to me, and which I know to be true by faith. So that's really what's going on here. This is a law gospel tension, but it can't be sort of, we can know the right answers in kind of an academic theological sense, but what you see in Psalm 6 is that David is struggling existentially, experientially with this very question, and you can see that he recognizes these earthly consequences to his sin. I'm weary with my moaning, verse 6. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Kind of gives us a hint that maybe there is some physical trial going on with his eyes. I don't know. But notice, too, that he recognizes that there are earthly physical consequences for what's going on. He's talked about this fear of death. He recognizes the emotional impact that the sin that these trials are facing to him, and that it can actually have physical consequences. And that too is something that we need to confess and hold up when we talk about confession and absolution, when we talk about forgiveness, is that forgiveness does not eliminate consequences here on earth. It doesn't. Forgiveness eliminates eternal consequences so that I may bear the earthly consequences here on earth. And that is a huge, huge distinction for us to make as Christians, and not to belittle the fact that we still suffer with these earthly consequences.
I wonder
a lot of what's going on here.
I like what you're saying there about physical and earthly consequences for sin. To deny this, I would think, would ultimately, if pressed to its logical conclusion, run up against the physical suffering of Christ, although that's not all there was to it, but the physical suffering of Christ at the cross, because he suffers there physical bodily consequences for our sin. It is in his body that he bears our sin. Is this third part here really a foreshadowing, if you will, a strange foreshadowing of Christ's ultimate suffering for our sin, his payment for our sin?
Well, certainly it is a foreshadowing, and that is one of the key elements to me in reading and praying the Psalms is always understanding these kind of different these different voices or these different perspectives that the Psalms hold. First of all, obviously we have David's confession, and we know that this is a Psalm of David. We also know that this is a Psalm of our Lord. This is his word. Luther was quite deliberate in saying that every page of Scripture is full of Christ, and that these Psalms are the Psalms that our Lord himself prayed every day as a good Jew. So one of the things that I'm going to look at through this Psalm and through any Psalm is, okay, how would Jesus pray this? What does this mean for Jesus to say, I'm weary with my moaning? Every night I flood my bed with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Well, that last one especially, that's not too much of a stretch for me to see this as a passion psalm almost. We'll look at some more of these later in the week. That's definitely a part of it. And because this is a Christological psalm, because this is a confession of who Christ is, that this is what he bears for me, that also means that this is a confession of what the church struggles with, and that this is a confession of what I personally struggle with. The church struggles with these earthly consequences all the time. All you got to do is go to one voters meeting, and you recognize that the church still struggles. You know, deal with one budget meeting, have one controversy in a congregation or in a church body, and you recognize, yeah, we are still struggling with these consequences, and that this should not surprise us. But then that goes even more to, yes, I am in Christ, and if Christ can suffer these things, then it should be no surprise that I will too, because I am a little Christ. I am baptized. And all of these things kind of go together. I think that gives us a little bit of freedom, too, when I pray these psalms, when I look at these psalms, to say, you know, I don't have to be ashamed of confessing my weakness. I don't have to hide from this or act as if this is a sign of weakness. It is a sign of weakness. But that sign of weakness is not a bad thing. It is a very good thing. It's confessing that weakness that also confesses that only Christ can fill this weakness.
Well, then with only about 30 seconds, the last part there, and we only have about 30 seconds, is it, in terms of its Christological interpretation, really the promise of his resurrection and ultimately of ours? About 30 seconds here, Todd.
It's the promise of his resurrection. It's the promise of his vindication. It's the promise then of our vindication. The Lord, verse 9, the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer, or the Lord will receive my prayer, depending on what translation. So what this is holding up is the ultimate gift that God does hear prayer, that this will get better, and that I am forgiven in Christ.
Well, tomorrow, part 3 of our daily series on the Complaint Psalms, we'll be having a conversation on Psalm 44 with about 30 seconds. What will we be covering tomorrow?
Psalm 44 is a great psalm for us to be looking at right now, because what it does is it holds up the promises of God, how God had continued to be with his people, and then it asks, and now, what's happening now? We are in great distress. We have suffered this disaster. I pray this psalm right now, and I'm thinking this is the psalm that our brothers and sisters in Haiti should be praying.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Thank you, and look forward to tomorrow's conversation.
Thank you. I look forward to it, too.
Folks, the latest online Issues Etc. journal is out, and we'd like to send it to you for free. Just send an email to us, your request to journal at issuesetc.org, journal at issuesetc.org. The latest Issues Etc. journal contains an article that I've written titled Legalism and License, two errors that appear to be opposite but are in fact the same error expressed two different ways. And the right way to thread the needle between the two, repentance rather than rule-keeping. There's also an article written by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller called The Simplicity of Christ. You can read this article and others. Just send your request for the Issues Etc. journal to journal@issuesetc.org, journal@issuesetc.org. Because Christ has suffered all these things in our place, because he has taken the place there of the psalmist, not only near death, but into death he went for us, suffering in his body the consequences of our sin. Because he has borne our guilt and our sorrow, and because, as the writer to the Hebrews says, he was heard, his loud laments, he was heard as he prayed with tears, and because his prayer was answered, he was raised from the dead. Now we are free to complain to God, just as Christ has for us. Now we are free to bring our complaints. Perhaps we are impatient. Perhaps we believe God should speed up the process. Perhaps we think he is wrathful. Perhaps we think that we have suffered too long. Don't withhold this from God. Complain. Remember, it comes from faith, knowing that we have a God who is ready to hear, for Christ's sake, even our complaints. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.